Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Minutes away for sure. It's down the road, a couple left, take a right, past the prison. It is a long ways away.
Is there a prison out there?
Oh, there's like three or four of them, yeah. They got to make sure everyone that's in witness protection is safe from all the criminals out here.
It's like one of those where you hear about, like, there'll be a jailbreak and prisoners will escape. And, like, you're going to be the first guy they hit up looking for, you know, until the heat simmers down. Like, they're going to come knocking on your door looking to hide out for 48 hours until somebody gets that car for them. I mean, you got to be that's serious living where you're at right now, right next to the prison, huh?
Well, I mean, not like directly next to us, not like it's our neighbor, but it's pretty noticeable. It's not too far away, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. You got to stay safe out here, right? You know, you got to do whatever Nahigian wants. He wants to send me to Hesperia, California, and witness protection. Whatever he says, I'll do.
Well, no matter where you are, you certainly, of course, are aware of what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers as much as anybody in the market. You're keeping up on this football team, and you always have. So let's just go back to last night. Of course, the loss by 6 to that of the Detroit Lions in a game in which Brock Purdy and the offense played well for a half, and then suddenly the second half happened. But I want to start there with Purdy, and we'll get into the contract. We'll talk about the injury really quick, by the way, just to update people with the injury. The latest, apparently the MRI, it's good news. So there's a contusion to the elbow. There's nerve inflammation, but it's not the UCL. And from what I can gather and from what I'm reading in the initial reports, it seems to be on the positive side in terms of his recovery. He is not expected to play in the finale against Arizona, but the MRI has spit out what a lot of people felt was the best case scenario. A lot of those that are close to the San Francisco 49ers, it's not the UCL, it's not the serious nerve damage. So with a good offseason, he should be as good as new come next year. Is that an accurate sort of way of looking at this?
Yeah, it's not going to be a long-term injury. He's not going to come into training camp wondering, is he quarterback one, is he quarterback two, is he going to be healthy? But I do think there is a major concern with this. Is a quarterback that had a shoulder injury earlier this year that cost him a game. He already tore his UCL, I don't know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, and he already again has another arm injury. Like, Purdy isn't a quarterback that is built to last, per se. Now, he's a durable guy, but this is three injuries to his throwing arm in consecutive years. Like, it's not a good thing for a quarterback that wants to get paid $65 million and probably will get that this offseason, but as a fan and watching the team, it's like, do you really want to commit to a quarterback? And I really do like Purdy, but I think his health may be a question now, which it wasn't a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, but now it's like another arm injury. To me, that is concerning. Like, if you're going to invest in him, as they should, the health is, it kind of worries me now, Dan.
Well, it should. And by the way, we're not giving him $65 million. You and I have a lot to discuss in the next 4 hours.
Maybe I wouldn't.
If you're cutting that check, if you think that's what the 49ers are doing, we'll get into the contract. Well, that's a good place to start, is with the injuries, because I've heard this, that he shouldn't have played or shouldn't have played in the second half because of the shoulder injury, because of what it is that you just laid out. Are you one of those that feel as though that he should have been bubble wrapped last night against Detroit?
No, because if broken-ankled Fred Warner's playing, the quarterback better be playing. Like, it's unfair to say, well, I'm not going to play in this game because I'm going to get paid and I want to save myself, but Fred has to play, or Nick Bosa has to play. Like, this team has been marred by injuries all year with people that have lost children and come back and played. You don't get to say, oh, my arm hurts. No, get back out there, play. And he played great for three quarters last night, but two picks, and all of a sudden the game's over with, and Jake Moody can't make a field goal or two. Like, I am of the belief that at least last night, next week maybe it's a different conversation, but last night was a game you had to play. You cannot let the Lions come into your place that already want to embarrass you and just give up. And they didn't. And Purdy has to play to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm surprised that this actually got traction, but there are more than one of the so-called experts out there that believe that he should not have played football last night. And that's a head scratcher. It makes no sense. I mean, look at the Detroit Lions, for crying out loud.
Should we call them imbeciles like Steiny?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far because a lot of these people take themselves so seriously these days. Because right. If you got a YouTube channel and a camera, boom, suddenly you're an expert. And maybe calling them experts is going a bit out of bounds. But there was a strong sort of underbelly, an undercurrent, if you will, of people that felt as though that he should not have been playing, which missed me with that. That just doesn't make sense on so many different levels. But I just I like Purdy. Purdy's a good quarterback. And if you don't think he's a good quarterback, yeah, then you're just hating on the guy. But playing great for three quarters, and again, you're not alone, and I'm quoting you, I didn't necessarily see that. Now, he had huge numbers, the 377 yards. I want to say that's a career high. His numbers after the first half were ridiculous.
He had four touchdowns last night.
To me, and he had three.
I mean, technically. Yeah.
He threw how many did he throw for?
Technically, he threw for three, but two. The little pop pass I see you're not a fan of.
Yeah.
He ran for the other one, though.
He threw for two.
Sure.
But Brock, to me, that first half, and Purdy was good, that was more of an indictment on Kyle Shanahan was back last night. That suddenly looked like Kyle Shanahan, because I'm telling you, man, just about every starting quarterback in the NFL could have made those passes. The majority of those passes. Ricky Pearsall was running free.
Yeah.
George Kittle on those shallow crosses didn't have anyone within 10 to 15 yards anywhere near him. Now, I don't know if that's an indictment on that Detroit Lion Poor's defense, but that was Kyle Shanahan recognizing that it's a blitz-happy Aaron Glenn defense, and I want to take full advantage of that. You know, in those bunch formations and getting his guys free, that looked like the return of Kyle Shanahan, that innovative coach who sat on top of the mountain, and then there was everybody else. And we've seen glimpses of that this year, but it looked as though Kyle Shanahan was in rare form for the first half of that football game. Now, the second half I want to get into, but I put that on Shanahan, and if I stay away from this phrase, but that was a system quarterback last night. That was one of those, I'm going to scheme guys open. I just need you to put it on them. I didn't see a lot of sort of, wow, that was a good throw on the part of Purdy. He threw a dime to George Kittle, but you compare and contrast that to, say, Jared Goff. Jared Goff put it in some tight windows. Jared Goff had some touch on some of those wheel routes. Jared Goff was a much more accurate throw of the football last night and much more impressive, I felt, even though the numbers maybe paled to that of Brock Purdy. But Brock Purdy, to me, was a product of exactly what it is that Kyle Shanahan is capable of doing and a lot of what Kyle Shanahan has done, but we haven't seen as much of it this year. Your thoughts?
I think it's a little unfair to give Shanahan, he called a great game last night, at least for the first three quarters. That first drive was a perfect script by Kyle. There was reverses, there was pitches, there was Debo looking like he was back to his all-pro form last night. Pearsall was just incredible last night, looked like Brandon Ayuk gave this team last year. It was like that's an Ayuk performance from Pearsall, who very similar to. But to say that Brock was a system quarterback when the entire tenure of Jared Goff may be a system quarterback. Ben Johnson, what he's done with the Lions is equally as similar to what they've done with Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Yet we are so, and I'm not even saying you're wrong in a sense, but the idea that Brock was a system quarterback last night didn't make good throws. That dime to Pearsall to the left sideline, that's a major throw to avoid some pressure and find Pearsall again deep on the right sideline for 40 yards downfield. Those throws matter.
But the 40-yard pass, was there someone within 10 yards of him?
Yes. Like, we're talking about, sideline to sideline throws. Like, we're talking about throws that maybe a lot of quarterbacks can make, and I'm not saying it to detract from Brock, but we're talking about a quarterback that, you know, hasn't had a great year, but in this game against the Lions, the offense looks good. Guys are getting open, which we can't fault Brock for his head coach doing his job. And so, like, I wouldn't say Brock was, you know, perfect, but for three quarters, he didn't have any completion for two quarters, or like a quarter and a half. That isn't all the head coach. That isn't all the play caller. That's Brock making the right reads and the right throws and evading pressure and finding guys open. And there was throws to Kittle over the middle that I know Brock's two picks were over the middle last night, but there were still throws to Kittle over linebackers, over defenders. Even after the first interception,
he throws
a pass to the right sideline over the defensive back to Pearsall. And it's like, that's an elite level throw from a quarterback that really isn't built like an elite level quarterback should be. So I would push back on the narrative, or at least the idea that Brock was a system quarterback last night, because when I think of that label, I think of, oh, Kirk Cousins, oh, Tua Tagovailoa, oh, Trevor Lawrence when he's great on his good days, which are few and far between now. But I think in a bad year, Brock looked really good last night and at least gave me hope prior to the injury. Like, okay, this guy deserves to get paid, you know, top of the line money for the last three quarters of play. Then boom, two picks. And you're like, never mind.
Yeah, I guess, first of all, you're right with Jared Goff. I'm just talking exclusively last night. Last night, Jared Goff made the tougher throws, in my estimation. Now, yeah, you're
against
right.
The worst defense, mind you.
The 49ers?
Yeah, they're way worse than the Lions defense are, or is.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. The defensive line couldn't get any pressure last night. They had 11 pressures last night. They didn't get to Goff at all.
Yeah. I think they're both putrid. I think both defenses are so bad right now. But you might be right. But I think that, and I'm not, yeah, listen, Brock Purdy made some nice throws last night. And there's nothing wrong with, not his fault, the guys are running free, right? You still got to hit him in stride, and Purdy did his job. I'm just saying the tougher throws last night that I saw, and I'm not the quarterback whisperer here, is it was Jared Goff who just really was just dropping it in tighter windows and just had touch. I've never seen him play with this level of confidence. And yes, he has been a system quarterback under Johnson. There's no doubt about that. But I think Purdy, yeah, he had huge numbers. But I'm telling you, a lot of those throws were just, I don't know what it is that Detroit was thinking.
You think it's empty calorie box score stats? It's empty calories.
Some of it. So, I mean, look, at somewhere in between, you know, what it is that Shanahan did and the good throws lies the truth. So I just don't want us to lean exclusively on the numbers, the 377 yards and the passer ratings. It was a good performance, but I'm just saying, I think a lot of that spoke volumes about Kyle Shanahan and sort of what it is that he was able to do schematically last night was significant for that of the San Francisco 49ers, because he sort of lost it in that second half, which I really want to get into.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that was so well-balanced in that first half, thanks due in large part again to Shanahan. Because part of the reason why Brock Purdy had so much success, and anybody will tell you, this is football 101, right? It's that the 49ers were able to run the football. And suddenly you're going play action, and the linebackers are biting on that read, and their first step and a half is towards the line of scrimmage. Kittle's sneaking behind. There's Pearsall, the field's wide open. And that's when Kyle Shanahan and any offensive coordinator, that's where they want you, where you're in a guessing game and your head's on a swivel. And that's exactly what Shanahan was able to do in that first half. Detroit had no chance. The only chance that Detroit had was through interceptions of winning that football game, because every time the Niners had it, they were going to score. And sure enough, Purdy was able to provide that. But I do want to talk about how Kyle Shanahan got away from that balance inexplicably, or maybe you can lend some sort of insight as to why he got away from running the football and that balance, and then just exclusively became a team that's going to throw the football. We're going to hear from a man, Sterling Bennett, who's going to provide the answers. We're talking about the 49ers and their latest loss. If you want to jump into the conversation, you know the drill. 888-957-9570. What do you do with Purdy? You going to sign him? What do you think of the injury? What do we do with this team going forward? Sterling Bennett, Dan Avone, back with more on 95.7 The Game after this.